This is the Concealed Carry Podcast, episode number 84. And welcome to the Concealed Carry Podcast, part of the USA Firearm Training Network. And I am your host, Riley Bowman.
Riley, the man who is quite literally getting ready to leave for American Marksman Nationals in Alabama right now as we record this. And I'm Jacob Paulson.
And Jacob is the guy who wears a tie once a week, but owns like 50 of them or more. How many do you actually have? Do you have 100?
I'd say 60s.
Nice. I have quite a few myself, but we'll have to... Maybe one of these days we could get together and do a good old-fashioned tie swap.
Oh, that is old school.
Nice. Yeah, I will get done recording this, and quite literally I'll be like throwing stuff in the truck, and very soon this afternoon I got to be on the road. So heading for Alabama. I'm so stoked. I can't even begin to describe how excited I am and nervous. So today's topic, by the way, we are talking about 17 shooting skills to master in 2017. How appropriate is that?
I love it. Perfect. Meant to be.
Absolutely. But first, this day in history, this day being, and we are recording this on January 3rd, but this day that this episode is airing is on January 4th of 2017. And Happy New Year to everybody. So on January 4th, 1847, Samuel Colt sold his first revolvers to the U.S. government. And this is kind of a cool story because at the time, he was actually struggling a little bit with his company. And part of that was because his revolvers, which were fantastic revolvers. I mean, everybody knows and respects the good old-fashioned Colt revolver and the mind that this guy had to create this gun that changed the West and changed the face of the nation. But they were so expensive to make that he wasn't really selling that many of them and was making it difficult to justify staying in business. So he won a contract with the U.S. government in 1847 for 1,000, initially, 1,000 of his 44 caliber revolvers. And that was a big deal for him. It was a big deal back in those days, especially considering that the U.S. government, the U.S. military, had never really made sidearms, pistols or handguns or whatever. I realize that some of you are going to be like, Riley, pistols didn't even exist yet because a pistol is a semi-automatic. I know that, guys. Okay, chill out. But anyway, this was not really a part of the standard loadout for U.S. military, was to have a handgun. Okay, you would have your long rifle, maybe a saber, a knife, a bayonet. Anyway, so 1,000 of his revolvers were purchased by the U.S. government, which was enough for him to have the capital to refine his manufacturing processes enough and make them better and cheaper so he could make the handguns cheaper, his revolvers cheaper. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he was able to make them more of a production gun because once upon a time, they had to be made custom, entirely custom, each gun. So production means interchangeable parts. It revolutionized the industry. It revolutionized America. And today we have good old Samuel Colt to thank for his genius in his revolvers. There you go. Yeah. This day in history.
Yeah. Samuel Colt made people equal.
Indeed. So today's episode, by the way, brought to you by Guardian Nation. And without any further ado, let's get right into it, Jacob. 17 skills to master in the year 2017.
Yeah, this is exciting. I like this topic a lot.
I do too. go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I got to thinking about this when we had our episode with Kyle Lamb. What was that, like 3-4 weeks ago? And he made a comment to the effect that, special operators, military dudes, they don't have skills that you know, the rest of us don't have. They just are, you know, they've refined them so well that they're able to do them perfectly every time in every circumstance. And he told a story, something to the effect of, you know, when we kick in some dude's, you know, door in Iraq and we go, you know, cruising in there and people are shooting at us and there's a flashbang, he's like, the skills are the same. It's still just grip, side alignment and trigger squeezes. You know, he said something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And it got me to thinking, you know, the rest of it is noise. And sometimes when we do our mental rehearsals, our brain is too focused on the noise and not focused enough on the actual skill we need to be working on.
Right. Well, and this is a comment that I've heard made by numerous instructors, some of whom are big, you know, a big deal in the industry, where they're training someone and somebody shows up to a class of theirs and says, okay, you know, show me the advanced stuff. Show me the top secret stuff. Show me the secrets, you know, to becoming a pistol, you know, shooting master like yourself. And there are no real major secrets. I mean, yeah, there's maybe a few little techniques here and there. I mean, you can play around with and tweak and make work for you. That, you know, guys teach grip a little bit differently here and there. But ultimately, what it comes down to is that the fundamentals and the skills, regardless if you are a special forces operator, a SWAT team guy, a beat cop, or, you know, just some random dude on the street like you or me, Jacob, you know, packing a gun concealed, the fundamentals are the same. The skills are the same. We all shoot guns the same way. There's only so many different ways you can skin this cat, frankly.
Right.
There is no special secret, you know, unicorn technique or skill that's going to suddenly change you from, you know, just some regular Joe to James Bond. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like at my last class I was teaching, I told the story about the Uber driver. You remember the Uber driver from last week's episode?
Yep.
And for those of you who didn't listen to it or don't remember, the short of it is, you know, Uber driver stopped at an intersection with a passenger. Guy, you know, minivan cuts him off. Guy jumps out of minivan with a gun in each hand, and Uber driver draws and shoots, and, you know, shoots four shots. All four connect with target, and man dies on street. And so I told that story in my class, and I had a student raise their hand. They're like, well, so like, do I need to be practicing like shooting through glass and stuff, you know, and like through a windshield, and, you know, like, do we know if this Uber driver had been, you know, training, you know, with dealing with that kind of thing? And it hit me. I'm like, no, like I doubt that the Uber driver, and I really don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt that the Uber driver had practiced shooting through glass, you know, at that point in time. And like, it seems unlikely that I haven't. Riley, have you ever practiced shooting through glass? I would like to. It sounds fun, but I've never done it.
Have I shot through glass? Yes. Have I done a lot of it? No. Done it in the context of, you know, being on some street in Iraq or something? No.
No, right. So the point is, like, it's still the same skills, right? Like that Uber driver, what skills did he really need to have, and what skills did he need to have built and practiced? Well, he needed grip. He needed, you know, safety skills. He needed to be able to manipulate the trigger well. He needed to be able to aim. Maybe some use of cover, debatably. You know, being able to you know, shoot and draw. You know, he needed to be able to draw. He needed to be able to shoot from a sitting position. You know, those are all skills, but the rest of it is just context.
Mm. Yeah, and you've been, you know, we've actually had quite a bit of back and forth, you and I, in the last few weeks, kind of talking about this. And you know, we just welcomed in a new year, and it's such a great time for everybody to reflect back on the old year. See how things went, you know, areas that we can improve. And we've been, I think, doing this to some extent as we've been looking at ourselves as instructors, looking at what we're doing here at USA Firearm Training and concealedcarry.com. And, you know, kind of, I think, looking at how we are approaching some of these skills and the teaching of these skills and the mastery of these skills, and trying to also to, you know, separate from a lot of that, the noise. Now, some of the noise is good to, I mean, there's definitely things that, I mean, like, does training from, you know, shooting from within a vehicle, or, I don't know, does some of the stuff have application? Is it good? Is it worthwhile to do? It is good to do. And it's good to familiarize yourself with different situations, different tactics, different scenarios and possibilities. I mean, the more you do that, the broader your range of experience becomes, the more able you are to adapt to changing situations and things that you're maybe, never encountered before or are unfamiliar with. I mean, the broader we can make our experience, the better, of course. But sometimes, and we see this on YouTube with there's YouTube channels and instructors where they're showing this crazy stuff, and it's like, that's great, but a lot of that's just noise. And the noise isn't necessarily always bad, but do we sometimes get tripped up in thinking, I've got to master this, crazy new, I'm kind of not finding a word for what I'm trying to describe, James Bond type move, or have I not mastered the basics of stance and grip and trigger control? And that's kind of what we're getting at here.
Yeah, I think context is the word I would use. Like, do we need to train for some of the context? Sure. Like in a car, for example, we need to be able to train dealing with the seatbelt. That's something that is context. And so to some degree, should we, have some mental rehearsals and actual physical, muscle memory repetitions doing that? Sure, absolutely. But it's still the context, and it's not the foundational skills that the shooter really needs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what I think where we're at right now is, you and I spent some time talking, and I don't know that do we have kind of a curriculum of sorts that we teach as instructors? Yes, absolutely we do. But sometimes even into that curriculum, we inject a little bit of this noise. And so we sat down and said, okay, what are some of the skills that one must master, we feel, to, to be at least prepared in some way to deal with a deadly force encounter, let's just suppose. I mean, realize, even your most skilled operator or SWAT team guy or whatever, just because they are, world-class athletes, world-class shooters, world-class operators, does that mean that they are totally 100% prepared and ready and guaranteed to come out of a situation alive, intact, in one piece? No, it doesn't guarantee that at all. But our goal is, for no matter who you are, no matter where you are on the spectrum, the goal is to be as prepared as we possibly can be, based on the context that we ourselves, live our day-to-day lives within. Especially with, concealed carry in mind. Your context, Jacob, is different from my context, and my context is different from somebody else's context. But regardless of those contexts, we all can improve in these basic shooting skills and fundamentals. And the goal is to really try, do the very best we can to master these fundamentals. So
yeah, for me, it's also about ROI. It's about the idea that I have a limited amount of resources, time, energy, ammo, whatever, to invest into my training and into my skills development. And so I need to get the highest return on that investment as I can get. And that the highest ROI I can get is focusing on these fundamental skills we're going to be talking about, and not focusing on, can I do that cool thing Bruce Willis did in Red, where he jumped out of the car and started shooting at the same time? Like, that would be cool to try, but it's right, probably not the best ROI. Yeah.
Jumps out of the car sideways while moving, shoots, kills three targets, and then tucks into a roll. And that's right, the kind of stuff we're talking about here. And you're right. So we have the opportunity now. We've welcomed in a new year, looking forward to this 2017, which, by the way, here at USA Firearm Training /concealedcarry.com, we've got big things up our sleeves, big things in the works, big things being planned. We've got SHOT Show coming up very soon, which we are super excited for. Lots of great things will happen there as well. Looking forward to this new year. I think we all, you, myself, the Kyle Lambs of the world even, and then also each of you, our listeners, we all need to commit to finding our deficiencies and making sure that we've got these shooting skills down. And naturally, I mean, there's some disclaimers here to this episode today. Are there other skills that we also need to learn? I mean, are there even, less lethal skills that we need to learn? Are there hand-to-hand combat skills we need to learn? Are there tactics and other techniques and, you know, avoiding, you know, even confrontations? Is that a skill in of itself? Absolutely it is. I mean, verbal judo. And, you know, you get in a sticky situation and can you use your words to try to get out of that and hopefully not have to resort to using any sort of force? These are all valuable skills. But here with the Concealed Carry podcast, with what we talk about here, concealed carry, self-defense, that's the context. There's these shooting skills are a must master sort of thing. So we all need to and should commit this year. Let's master these skills. We're going to give you the list and discuss a few of these a little bit, you know, more at length as to what they are or why we think that they're here or how important they are or whatever. But also the other disclaimer is that we may not have everything totally listed here. And there may be some things you're like, well, Riley, Jacob, you missed this. It's not meant to be fully 100% completely comprehensive, just mainly that these are definitely, without any doubt, 17 shooting skills to master in this new year, 2017. So let's get into that a little bit. Jacob, where do we go next?
Yeah, I think where I'd like to go next is talking about skills that are universal to every shooting, you know, situation. And then I think going from there to some skills that maybe are you know, depending on the situation, you may or may not have to use. So for example, safety, you know, safety is an interesting one to start on. Intuitively, many of you may not think of gun safety or safe gun handling as a skill, but it is a skill because it's not natural. It's not something we naturally are inclined to be able to do and do properly. And so it is something we have to work on, and it's something that we can get better at over time with repetition. So gun safety or safe gun handling is definitely a skill and one that applies every time we pick up a gun. So that would be one I'd like to focus on first. I think we always start with safety, right?
That's a great place to start. It does indeed start with safety. And I know some of you out there listening are just like, what? I mean, come on, get to the good stuff here, Riley. But the good stuff is that it starts with safety. And I know there's some of you out there that could still use some improvement in your safety skills. Safely handling a weapon is a skill. It is something that has to be learned. You kind of touched on it, Jacob, I think, that it's handling a firearm is not natural for most people. It's really not natural for anybody. I mean, if you took somebody just out of the world, and even if they have an IQ of 180 and they're, you know, extremely intelligent, they have great hand-eye coordination, they're an athlete, whatever, but they've never laid eyes on a gun before. They've never seen one used before. They're not even familiar with what a gun is or what it does. And if all you did is pull one out of your pocket and hand it to someone, and if they're, you know, intuitively they look at it, they could tell, oh, there's a grip here. I'm supposed to grip it. You know, some of the guns, like a Glock, a generation 3, generation 4 Glock, has the little finger grooves. I mean, so you take this intelligent individual that looks at it and goes, finger grooves, grip, hand, goes on gun. And instinctively and naturally, because this is the way our hands and our bodies are designed, the finger will go right on the trigger. I can just about guarantee it. And so this concept of teaching finger straight, finger off trigger until you're ready to fire, those safety skills are just that. They are skills. They are things that have to be taught. They have to be learned. And we have to override some of these natural tendencies that we have to handle a firearm safely. So,
yep.
And we've all seen it. I've seen skilled shooters many times, you know, violate a safety rule. And that just tells me that, maybe we haven't spent enough time paying attention to what we're doing, because that's what you have to do. I mean, I can go to the range, right, Jacob? I can go to the range with my gun, stand there, load it up, and put rounds downrange towards a general direction of a target. But if I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, I'm not building anything. I'm not learning anything. I'm not developing anything. And the same is true with handgun safety. If I don't pay attention every second that I'm handling that gun, the direction it's facing, where my finger is in regards to the trigger, then you don't, frankly, develop those skills. And eventually, even if you learned them once upon a time, you get lazy and you forget. You don't pay attention.
Yeah, another episode that would be a really great reference if you want to learn and understand more about gun safety and how it's a skill that needs to be built and how you're naturally inclined to not do it properly, episode 32. Episode 32 of the podcast is called How Your Brain Could Get You Killed, and that's really the focus of our conversation there. So yeah, I think that is, you know, that's a skill that I suspect all of our listeners are familiar with, they are working on, and let's not neglect it as something that we need to continue to focus and work on.
Yep. And that, you know, I went into the detail I went in too, and I'm, you know, we started with talking about the safety thing because in this new year, let's not overlook that, and let's not over, because it is easily overlooked. So coming up next, we've got things like what? Stance, grip, trigger manipulation, trigger control. Basic, these are like your commonly taught shooting fundamentals. I mean, of course, anybody would expect these to be on the list. Grip, stance, trigger manipulation, breathing, follow through. And we're going to refer to it as aiming. Sight picture, sight alignment.
Yeah, these are things that every single time, right? Anytime I pick up the gun, draw the gun, I have to have these in place. There is no circumstance in which I can forego using one of these skills to the best of my ability. And I'll add that if these skills aren't really dialed in, if my grip's really not quite right, if my aiming, as we're calling it, is not really well developed, if my trigger manipulation is poor, if any of these things are not good, then trying to work on all the other skills is going to be a problem, because there's a deficiency in the foundation of the house, right? And so we want to make sure the foundation is solid as a rock.
Yeah. And I like what you said there, because without you quite saying it in this manner, this is essentially what you're saying. If some of these fundamentals, you know, if your grip just absolutely sucks, if your stance is terrible, and especially if you cannot learn to pull, I use the word pull, or press the trigger in such a manner as to not disturb anything else that you're doing in regards to handling that gun, especially the alignment of that gun on its target, the aiming of the gun. If you cannot master the simple skill of pressing the trigger and not disturbing anything else during pressing that trigger, then almost anything else you do doesn't really matter, right? Because I had it perfectly aimed at the time I fired this shot. I had, my stance was perfect, my grip was perfect, but I didn't pull the trigger worth a darn. Like I totally, you know, at the moment the gun went bang, my gun went down and left. I'm a right-handed shooter, which is an indicator of anticipation, right? Then it didn't matter. All this other stuff I was doing perfectly, because all of a sudden I had this one little thing that was not quite so perfect, and it affected everything else. And it was all for naught.
Yeah. I'll also say that with a lot of these skills, you start with kind of the greater concepts, and then as you develop the skill, you get more nitty-gritty about the conceptual way that the skill is developed. I remember, do you remember our podcast episode with Mike Hughes? When was that, October? I think it was October. And one thing he talked about is how he's built an entire course. It's a free course on his website, which is grip.nextleveltraining.com. And I went and took that. I went and watched, you know, I think there's like 17 videos in that series, and it's good. It's a well done little deal. But here's the interesting thing. Like, a lot of those conceptual things would be too much to teach a beginner. Like a beginner, you know, you're like, okay, you grip it like this, like put this hand here, you feel, you know, wrap the, okay, good, like the thumbs do, you know, and you stick with real basics. But as they start to develop the skill a little bit more, you say, okay, you know, another thing that'll help your grip is if you focus on the support hand, you know, being the one that does this clamp here, and the C clamp, you know, you talk about these different things, and all of a sudden it gets a little bit bigger and deeper. It's sort of the whole pearls before swine concept. So that'd be another thing. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, well, grip, stance, you know, sight alignment, sight picture, aiming, trigger manipulation, like those are things I got down. I've been doing that for a long time. I would ask you, can you take those skills to the next level? Are there little things that you could learn that really redefine and refine that skill for you and make it even stronger?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's these basic shooting fundamentals. And the one thing that has been a huge focus for me in the last 6 months, as I've gone from, you know, winning my divisional regional championship of American Marksman, qualifying for nationals, which I'm headed for this week. And I've been practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And it has just become so clear to me. I mean, we talk about muscle memory all the time and how important it is that we just get these, you know, basic fundamentals just solidly nailed down. But it has just become so apparent to me as I have fired thousands and thousands of rounds this year, how the concept of gripping the gun, aiming it at your target, pressing that trigger, all, you know, and then of course being balanced and you know, having a good stance and all that. I mean, like, it has to happen automatically. And I mean, I thought once upon a time that it already did happen automatically, but the fact is we developed these little deficiencies. You know, I was having a little bit of an anticipation problem with some of my shooting, and I had to go back and kind of rebuild myself with regards to my trigger manipulation, trigger control. And so, you know, we've got to get things to where they are done perfectly and automatically, because then as we start to throw things at it, like shooting while moving or having to do a reload, or just, you know, all the other noise, you know, having to operate a gun efficiently from, you know, within the vehicle, or, you know, having to move through my house and, you know, 'cause I got an intruder, and getting my child, you know, safe and, you know, behind me or whatever, and dealing with the threat. I mean, the point is we start throwing noise at things, and I've done some competitive shooting this year, and that competitive shooting is noise. You have a stage, you got to shoot different targets, different shots, different number of shots, different things you got to do. You got to move here, you got to move there, and all that's noise. And if you don't have these basic fundamentals just totally solid and perfectly, so that they occur perfectly and automatically, then you fall apart. That's just the reality of it. So that's been my big focus, is let's get these nailed down to where they happen automatically, the fundamentals, the skills do, and then the noise doesn't affect that as much.
Yeah, in fact, you had me thinking. We've had a couple of top shot contenders recently on our podcast we've been talking to, and I was thinking, as you were talking about your experience with competition and things, you know, for those of you who have seen Top Shot, or if you've seen competitions like that, where someone's walking into a situation and they have no idea what to expect, right? Like, they're just being handed a gun that they've maybe never even seen before, they never shot before, crazy stuff that they're being asked to do, shoot this thing while spinning over here, and, you know, like, just crazy stuff. Like, how in the world do you think they do that? They don't do that because they've practiced that stuff at home. You can't practice. You don't know what's coming, right? Same thing with you and American Marksman. The reason competitors are able to perform in those circumstances is because the fundamentals are still the same. So I know that we're kind of like burying this hatchet super deep, but no matter how long you've been shooting, no matter how, you know, good you think your skills are, there's always room to identify deficiencies and improve on these cores: grip, stance, trigger manipulation, and aiming. As you said, we're kind of using that to refer to, you know, sight alignment, sight picture, whatever. So, you know, call them the big four, the home run, the, you know, whatever you want to call them. But we, you know, we just got to draw those things and make them deep.
Yep. And I already gave, you know, mentioned and kind of gave away another one of the 17 shooting skills to master in 2017, and that was shooting while moving. And which to me, I think, has absolute application to self-defense. I know some people would suggest, well, okay, if I got to move, then I'm going to move as quickly as I can to that position and then shoot. But who are you to say that you might not, I mean, you never know exactly what's going to come your way. I mean, you just said that, Jacob. If we think that some of these competitions that we might compete in, I mean, for American Marksman, they have not published, they have not told us what the courses of fire are. I have no idea what I'm going to encounter. All I know is that we're going to be shooting some pistols, some shotguns, and some rifles. That's it. So I've been, you know, working on all these different, you know, skills, basic fundamentals with those different platforms. And unfortunately, of course, regardless if it's a pistol, shotgun, rifle, so many of the fundamentals completely translate over to each other. But anyway, the point is, deadly force encounter is perfectly is a perfect description of a situation where you don't know exactly what's coming or what's going to happen. And anyway, a very valuable skill to have is, I think, shooting while moving. And certainly, if you can shoot accurately and quickly while moving, then of course you ought to be able to do it while standing still. Use of cover would be another one. We've got also master malfunction clearing, I think. I mean, that's not so much relevant to me putting these bullets in that bullseye at 25 yards every time, but it is definitely has application to defensive shooting. If my gun goes down, well, I got to be able to deal with that and get back into the fight as quickly as possible. Single hand manipulation, draw. Got to be able to learn how to draw and do that, you know, very well and make that second nature. So these are some of the skills, and I don't know if you want to break any of these down a little bit more in detail, yeah, Jacob.
A couple of things that came to my mind. I mean, you mentioned shooting while moving, and you know, I would encourage, as we're working on this skill, there's so many pieces to this. Shooting while moving, well, moving forward, moving backward, moving sideways, walking downstairs, walking upstairs, walking around a corner, and so you know, just to reiterate that there's a lot of elements to that, and I think it's important to train all of them. The fundamentals are still the same of how you know, shoot while move, but you know, there's a lot of directions you can go with that, and they're all very important. Use of cover, you talked about malfunction clearing, I thought was interesting. I'd never really had a malfunction before when I was doing a real like drill, like a live drill where, you know, I'm really trying until October when you and I were at the range and we were doing a drill where we were shooting from behind cover. We shot several shots and then we would move perpendicular to the target and then move forward on another piece of cover and then shoot some more. And it was during the middle of this drill that I had a malfunction. And it was the first time I ever like saw myself apply the muscle memory, like bam, I tapped, racked it and moved forward. And I didn't even like realize I'd done it until afterwards. Brandon was there and Brandon's like, man, you handled that malfunction perfectly. And I was like, there was a malfunction. And I went back and I watched the video. And so it comes down to, you know, you kind of made a comment about that. And so I wanted to just reiterate that, you know, we want to practice these things all the time whenever we have the opportunity. Malfunctions are an interesting one because we can't always simulate the opportunity. I mean, you can put simulation rounds or dummy rounds in your magazine stack along with live rounds, and that'll cause a malfunction of some sort, and that way you can get some practice. But, you know, don't forget that muscle memory is muscle memory, and so you do it all the time. You can also use software like LASR to call out things like malfunctions. And so there's always opportunities of things you can do to try and practice some of those things. Mm. One that I know is on our list here and I wanted to go to next is low light shooting. And so low light shooting is a really important skill. It is, and this is one of those ones where I was trying to decide, is this noise, is this context, or is it a skill? And it is, in fact, a skill. The more I think about it, the more I agree that, you know, there's an actual skill to being able to shoot in low light conditions. And it's very, very relevant to a lot of self-defense situations we might find ourselves in. So, you know, that's a skill that we have to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, incorporating the use of a light together with the firing of your pistol is it's a different skill set. It's just, I mean, it obviously, what does it turn into? If you're having to use a standalone flashlight, you know, that you carry around in your pocket or whatever, your EDC everyday carry flashlight, which, you know, my EDC is, and there's certainly better ones out there as far as brightness, but, and we've talked about it on the podcast before, in fact, multiple times, the Streamlight MicroStream. It's so small, lightweight, and the fact is that I always have it with me because of that reason. And I just went through, 2 weeks ago, a couple of low light shooting courses here locally at a nearby range that they were offering this. And I did the entire course with my Streamlight MicroStream. And that was fantastic practice for me because here I'm using a less than ideal flashlight. I mean, frankly, I mean, it's what, 60 lumens or something like that. It's really not that bright compared to, a lot of these lights out there are 200 and 300 or even sometimes more lumens. And it's small. It's not always the easiest thing to handle because of that. But I always have it with me. And I thought, you know what? I really need to push myself to, you know, this is what I'm carrying with me EDC every day. Well, then wouldn't it bode well for me to make sure I actually know how to use this thing and shoot with it well? And so what that forced me to do, I mean, I've done low light shooting too, where we do a weapon mounted light. I mean, weapon mounted light, okay, great. I'm able to use a two-handed grip. I'm able to turn on the light, fire my shots, light off, move, whatever. But I had to shoot all week with one hand, single-handed. You know, even using some of the more advanced, like, you know, the Masoud Ayoub technique, where you've incorporated the flashlight into your grip on your pistol. I couldn't do that very well with my little MicroStream light here. And so I was, you know, the point is it's a different skill set, and it's still incorporating some of the other things we have to do. I mean, another skill that we must master is single hand manipulation. Manipulating that weapon with one hand, whether that's strong hand or support hand, doesn't really matter. But I had to manipulate that weapon basically, you know, through the duration of this course with just my one hand, because the other hand is tied up with the light. I know some guys will teach, you know, well, stick the light in your armpit or something so you can manipulate things with. But I'm thinking, you know what? This thing is so small. I was able to do reloads with it. My point is, it was great. It was such a great, valuable thing I went through, this low light shooting course. And it just has such application to everyday carry situations that you might encounter. So low light shooting, very good skill to have.
Yeah, Riley, let's add a link to the Streamlight MicroStream to the show notes for if anyone's looking for that flashlight. You and I must have mentioned it at least 100 times on this podcast. I love that flashlight. And every single person who I show it to goes, I have to have one. I mean, yeah. It's just one of those things. So yeah. We'll add it to the show notes.
Absolutely. We have mentioned it several times. We've had links to it before. And like I said, there's definitely better lights out there if you're talking about just sheer brightness.
Sure, sure.
And I showed up, and one of the other people there in this course was in this training session. They kind of like, oh, wow, you're using what? And they're like, that's not bright enough. And I proved them wrong, frankly, that, yeah, I mean, could it be better if I had 300 lumens? Of course. But I was able to prove that, you know what? I've got this light. This is what I carry with me. And yeah, I could shoot with it. It's not as easy, but you can do it. So that was really great. I mentioned single hand manipulation. Definitely a skill you got to learn. I mean, and realize that there's a tendency with deadly force encounters, regardless if you're a good guy or a bad guy, that psychologically, I mean, subconsciously, our eyes and our focus is drawn to a threat. Now, you know, a lot of times we talk about a threat being the individual that is the threat to us, that's causing the threat. Mm-hmm. But the more direct, the more immediate threat is what's in their hand, most likely. And that is that either that gun or that knife. And so often we, of course, think in terms of deadly force encounters as being gun against gun, which they aren't always. But the point is our eyes, our mind, subconsciously, everything, we are very much drawn and focused on the threat. And the threat that is held in someone's hand. And so it is not unusual for a lot of gunshots in a gunfight to strike an individual in a hand, in a finger, in an arm. And, you know, you've got your gun and you're pointing in, and it's directly in front of your chest. Well, someone's aiming at your chest, most likely, trying to shoot you. So there's a high probability of you getting hit in a hand or an arm, resulting in you having to completely manipulate that weapon from that point on single-handedly. So you better have that skill down. And I know there's people out there that don't.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about that in more detail, because it's not just about shooting. It's not just about being able to shoot with my support hand. It's not just about the reload. It's about everything. Doing it with one hand, you know, from start to start. Could you do everything you need to do with a single hand? And it's not just about getting shot, an injury. It's also about things like maybe I'm holding the light in my other hand, or maybe my other hand is holding back my children some other person. I mean, there's so many
somebody
reasons
else
why.
Out of the way.
I mean, it's just, you've got to have that skill, you know, defined. It may not be one you have to use every time you shoot, like grip or stance or those, but it's going to come up.
Well, and how about this? Here's another one of our shooting skills that we're talking about in this episode today, and that is drawing. Well, what if one of your arms is pinned down, right? Like somebody's already gained control of you. They've grabbed you, and you know that they are a deadly threat to you. And now you've got to draw and get to your weapon single-handedly. And, you know, you got a coat, a shirt, things in the way. You know, these are all things that you got to learn, you got to practice and make sure you got those skills down. So drawing is another skill. And normally we do this with two hands, but you might need to learn, and actually you should learn to do that single-handedly as well. How about reloading? Reloading is another one of our skills we got to master. Now, if you know, you might be a revolver guy. You better dang well have that reloading process down for that 5 or 6 shot revolver. And guess what? I think it takes a heck of a lot more repetitions to get, you know, a fast reload of a revolver down than to do a fast reload of a semi-auto. So, but regardless of semi-auto or revolver, doesn't matter. Reloading is a skill that is a must have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And along those lines, I'll just add a little side note. Like, reloading as a skill becomes both more important and more valuable when you're carrying a spare mag. If you're looking for a little sideline, like tangent from Jacob, 2017 New Year's resolution might be carry a spare mag.
Yeah, I carry a spare mag every day. And
Every day.
I mean, we talked about it in one of the recent episodes. I don't remember exactly which one, maybe 79 or something, about that shooting in Brazil with the off-duty cop, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
And I can't remember everything that we talked about there or the detail we went into, but I'm pretty sure I might have mentioned that I went through and counted the shots that this off-duty cop fired in that encounter, you know, where he's being robbed face-to-face by a man he's holding a revolver in his face. It's an armed robbery. You know, it is the picture perfect description of weapons involved. Deadly force is, or the threat of deadly force is being used against you. And you're thinking, okay, I feel like I've got to fight back for whatever reason. And in that about 3 seconds from the time this guy draws his weapon to the time that the situation is over, and it's not over till the suspect he drops to the ground and he's dead, or he dies at least. There is at least 10 shots that are fired in that encounter, all by the off-duty cop. And it happens so fast. I mean, just in 2 or 3 seconds. And so I know some of you, hey, I got 7 or 8 in my 1911, and by golly, if I hit all of those shots, ain't nobody surviving that. That's bull crap. And regardless, psychologically, we all have a tendency to pull that trigger just as fast as we can when there's somebody right in our face trying to kill us. So reloading is a necessary skill. And I hope that if you haven't mastered it already, let's master it in the year 2017. What's up next, Jacob?
Yeah. I would say, just as a resource to that one, like, go, if you haven't listened to it, episode 10. Episode 10 of this podcast, how many rounds should you carry concealed? It will change your life. That one will.
Yeah.
Indeed. So another skill that I think we've talked about, draw, reloading, support hand shooting, which, you know, is a very specific thing, because before we talked about single hand manipulation, so some of you guys might be like, hey, Jacob, you guys had that, you have that twice, but not necessarily, because you can shoot support hand with two hands. So there is support hand shooting that's not single hand manipulation. So for example, I might be using cover and I have to lean out to my left. Well, I'm a right-handed shooter. Certainly, I think a majority of right-handed shooters just, you know, do their best to lean out to the left, you know, and continue a right-handed grip. But I think it's an important skill to build to transition to support hand and have a left-handed grip as I have to use cover to my left. That's an example of a support-handed shooting skill.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is we can't think of all the possible scenarios we might encounter. And so why not train for, as to the best of our ability, every possibility? You know, and if I could shoot better with my left hand, even if I'm using a two-handed, you know, because I'm right-handed, right? So my left hand being my support hand, would I become a better shooter if I mastered the ability to shoot with my support hand? Would it make me a better shooter with my strong hand? Absolutely it would. So yeah, I mean, train for all the possibilities. Even if you don't think, oh, I'm never going to lean out around that cover and, you know, and switch my, you know, take the time to switch hands to, you know, my gun from my right to my left hand and then use a two-handed grip. And if you think you're never going to do that, it doesn't really matter. It's still going to make you a better shooter to learn and master that skill. Now here's one. And we've got it here as number 14 in our list. positional shooting. And mind you, with maybe the exception of safety, this list, folks, if you go and you're looking at this list in the show notes or whatever, it's not necessarily meant to be in any one particular order. Like this is, you know, just because you're at number 14 doesn't mean it's lesser important or anything like that. I just want to make that clear. But we have here positional shooting. And what we mean by positional shooting is that is shooting in basically any conceivable position. Okay. I mean, the standard shooting position for handgun shooting, especially, it'd just be standing there, you know, in your typical isosceles or Weaver stance and standing and shooting. So positional shooting would be like anything else you can conceive of position wise. Master that and master shooting off balance. I mean, leaning around cover. Because you're using cover, you're in a gunfight for whatever reason, and you've got to lean out around that cover safely, slice the pie, do it appropriately, and you're leaning out, you're shooting off balance. Because if you were on balance, you would have a leg exposed to your enemy. So you're trying to keep everything as much as possible behind cover, and you're leaning out. You're shooting off balance. Learning how to shoot from a variety of positions, prone, kneeling, crouching, on your back, any, like I said, any conceivable position you might find yourself in a deadly force encounter, a lot of those, you're not perfectly comfortable and you are not perfectly in balance. And so learn how to shoot even off balance and in a crazy, you know, any number of crazy positions that you might find yourself in. Yeah. And in fact, I wanted to add something there real quick, Jacob. I remember one time somebody, you know, demonstrating to me where they're shooting, they're on their back, okay, and they're pointing the gun above their head. And to do this properly, you've got to kind of turn your head a little bit at a 45 degree angle, both to the side and then back, so you can get, you know, your eye to where you're laying on, keep in mind, you're laying on your back and you're shooting downrange is in the direction of your head. So arms are outstretched above your head, but you're on your back. And I'm like, why the heck would I ever shoot like that? Well, one of the situations that type of shooting position can have application is if you got a really low car, a really low vehicle, and you're using that vehicle for cover. And that might be one of the positions, one of the few positions you're actually able to aim effectively and clear the low clearance of that vehicle and shoot underneath it and hit your adversary. So anyway, just something to think about there.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought that up. Another skill that I think is not far away from positional shooting is weapon transition. The idea of weapon transition is that, you know, in an ideal scenario, you would have more than one firearm. You might be transitioning from a handgun to a carbine, or you know, in reverse. I'll give you actually a very tangible, practical example. Like this might sound like a little extreme, like zombie apocalypse style, but let me give you a more practical example that's not that far-fetched. Let's say you're hunting, and you're walking with your 30-06, your hunting rifle, your 30-30, whatever it is, and you happen to have your handgun on your side, and something happens while hunting that you decide you need to transition to your handgun. That's a very, you know, like not that far-fetched, you know, scenario you might imagine where the skill of transitioning from weapon to weapon is actually a very important one to have.
That's an interesting scenario. But I mean, it's a valid point. Having this skill and ability to transition. Now, a lot of times where this has great applicability is, yes, in an ideal world, I mean, ideally, I would be fighting with my carbine first, with my, you know, multiple round capacity, semi-automatic, long rifle. And I'm fighting with that first. And whether it's because I run out of ammunition for it, whether it gets a, you know, it has a malfunction that occurs, whatever the reason is, now I find myself having to quickly stow away that rifle or that other weapon and now draw and present my pistol. Or, you know, I was using my pistol and, you know, a lot of guys will make the comment, you know, the pistol, its purpose is for fighting my way to the more effective weapon, which would probably be my carbine or my rifle. And so, yeah, weapon transition, very important skill to also learn. And it is kind of one of those things where it starts to become almost borderline. You know, is that noise or is that actually its own, you know, veritable skill? Well, there's something different about having that other weapon on you, and then, you know, managing multiple weapons, there is something to be said there. And it does take a little bit of time and practice and repetitions to get that down and do so effectively and quickly. And that's really the key. So there's many things that people can do very well if they have all the time in the world to do it. But it's when you put people under time, under pressure, under stress, that it becomes unbearable and unmanageable at times. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, legit.
Yeah, and I kind of already mentioned these earlier on in the podcast, but we have, I mean, like I said, there was no particular order to anything here, but we have breathing and follow through on our list of 17 shooting skills to master in 2017. So, I mean, we've pretty much gone down the list, and we've given a list, and I know some people will listen, well, just give me the list. Well, guess what? You can go look at the list. If you don't want to listen to the rest of the podcast, whatever. I don't care. You can see the list of the show notes. But, you know, hopefully we're pointing out and discussing some helpful things, some valuable things to people as we work our way through these things. And kind of going back to my introduction of the episode, you know, we were talking about it's a new year. It's a time to reflect. So many of you are making New Year's resolutions. You know, good for you. Am I making resolutions? I always have resolutions, you know, regardless of what time of year it is. Are there things I'm going to work on this year? Absolutely. And definitely one of the things that I plan to do this year is a lot more competitive shooting. I've really gotten bit by the bug. It's something I enjoyed doing in the past, but just never really felt like I had the time or ability or resources to really dive into. And I'm going to really dive into it this year. So that's one of my big things. But the thing that's I think is great about competitive shooting, Jacob, is you do put yourself in that time and stress, you know, filled situation to some extent. I mean, is it a deadly force encounter? No. But it does, I'll tell you, it does point out deficiencies that I have when I'm on the clock and I'm trying to do something very quickly. And that's where, you know, even myself, Riley, goes back and looks. I'm like, oh, you know what? I got some issues I got to work through on trigger manipulation. And so it's a new year. We hope that you'll take the challenge, accept the challenge to do the best that you can this year to master these 17 shooting skills that we've covered in today's episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, what I would add is 17 might sound like a lot. I mean, most people probably don't set 17, you know, New Year's resolutions each year. But you know, don't be overwhelmed by this. If it seems overwhelming, you know, take one at a time. Like, okay, I'm going to really work on grip. I'm going to make my grip better, or I'm going to really work on use of cover, you know, and just take something and bite it off and go work on that a little bit. And none of us are perfect on any of these skills. We're all progressing. So take something and work on it for a while until you feel like you've improved that, and then come back and pick something else off this list.
Mm, yeah. You know, something interesting about the number 17, Jacob, is that it almost perfectly divides into the number 52, the number of weeks in a year. So,
because I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, 17 times 3 is 51. So you just have one extra, you know, you have a remainder of one for those of you that remember, you know, learning third grade division. But so the interesting thing, the thought I had as you mentioned that, Jacob, was, you know, pick one, work on one thing. Well, guess what? If you were to approach this in a very structured manner, you could work on just one of these skills every week. So this week would be safety, next week grip, next week stance, and you'd get through that 3 times in this upcoming year.
There you go.
How about that? So I doubt I will be that structured
have a week
about
off.
It. Okay, yeah. Build in a week off. Make it the holiday week from Christmas to New Year's. And then begin again. I don't know. Anyway, so there you have it, folks. Once again, we recognize there's definitely things that we have not discussed on this list or included in this list, and it's not meant to be, you know, your Bible or your guide to being, you know, this perfect masterful shooter or anything like that. It's just that these are definitely some areas of focus that we hope that you'll investigate, that you'll work on and practice. So today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by Guardian Nation. A relevant benefit of Guardian Nation is the training archive, which is devoted to the skills we've talked about today. As a member, you can log in and find training videos primarily oriented around drills that you can run that will build these specific skills. We hope that you'll check it out and consider joining, whether it be for the monthly training and drill videos, discounts on products in our store, the monthly Guardian Nation live broadcasts with top industry professionals, where you get to hear straight from the mouths of these top level shooters the types of skills and drills that they think is really important and different things they do to master. Or if you join for the quarterly box of handpicked Guardian gear, there is something for everyone in becoming a member of Guardian Nation. We hope that you'll check it out now by going to www.guardiannation.com. So please go check it out. And as we mentioned earlier, in the show notes, in today's episode show notes, we will have links to some resources we mentioned, such as the Streamlight MicroStream. And Jacob's noted here Mantis X, which we didn't actually specifically mention in the episode, but is a great training product. I know you did. Why don't you just real quick, you know, explain why this is such a great training product?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges is if you know you want to work on your skills, but you don't know which skill you need improvement on, right? If you're like, well, I'm not sure where I need to work, where my deficiencies are. Now, you have to diagnose a problem before you can address that problem with a solution. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there as instructors, you can do a lot of things, but the Mantis X is just a really clever, relatively economic tool that you throw onto any gun with a rail. You just slide it onto your rail and it sends a signal to your phone on an app on your phone. And when you're shooting, it essentially takes care, it monitors the very minute movements from trigger squeeze to bang to kind of have a sense for what the gun is doing. And it sends that data lifetime to your phone, and either an instructor or a friend can be sitting there holding your phone, or you can just set it down at the table next to you. And as you shoot, it's giving you data. And it actually thinks it knows where you're hitting, and it's pretty dang good because it knows how you're moving the gun as you squeeze. It's a really clever tool, and it's an amazing diagnostic tool. As an individual or as an instructor, I think it's a worthy investment.
Yeah, and we're working on putting together a video demonstration of the Mantis X. So you can find some videos out there. I think you can find some stuff on their website, but we're working on basically doing a demonstration / review of Mantis X, hopefully here soon, and you'll be able to see that firsthand. It's really, really a great tool. It is very focused to some degree on trigger control, but that is also one area I think a lot of people really struggle. So that is definitely one area that, I mean, I find myself all the time having to go back and work on, and that is trigger, because it just really isn't that easy to do. So let's get on now to picks of the week. Jacob?
My pick of the week this week is Duke's Meats. And I suspect that I would just call it jerky, but their company's name is Duke's Meats. And they're actually based out of Boulder, Colorado, which to some degree makes me like them and to some degree doesn't. But anyway, they're a great company. They're starting to get a lot of distribution now. I've seen them now in gas stations, in Walmarts. So I think that, you know, they're relatively national. And I really appreciate these guys. They do smoked meats, sausages, and things like that. It's jerky. But a couple of things they do that I think are unique or that I appreciate. At the top of their packaging, on the front, at the very top, kind of that strip that you would like rip off when you open the package, up in that strip, they always put how many grams of sugar and how many grams of protein are in each serving of that particular package of meat, of sausage or jerky or whatever. And it just really makes it easy when I'm shopping. I don't have to turn a bag over and check its nutritional facts because I really care about sugar and protein. So that's something I really appreciate. And it tastes good. It's just good and relatively economic. So Duke's Meats. There you go.
Great. And I've had Duke's as well. And it's good stuff. I like it. And my pick this week is the Blackhawk Warrior Wear Operations Jacket. And I may have mentioned this. See, last week we did the episode with Matthew Marister about cold weather carry. And I may have mentioned in there this jacket. It's one that I frequently wear during cooler weather. It's not ideal for probably anything really too much below the freezing. But for all the cooler weather, you know, all the other cooler weather times, I love this Blackhawk Warrior Wear Operations Jacket. It's quite warm. It does a very good job of cutting the wind down. It is a very effective windbreaker, especially as long as you keep the pockets zipped up. And you know, it's got nice, big, generous pockets. The fabric that it's made of, I don't even know how to describe it, but it does a good job of concealing bulges or things underneath. You know, as I might be carrying outside a waistband underneath the jacket. Just a great jacket. seems very well made, like it's going to last a long, long time. I've had it for about a year now and very happy. So go check that out. Link in the show notes. Hope that for some of you, you might find value in it as well. And I already mentioned, Jacob, my up next is I'm headed to American Marksman. And actually, you are headed there as well with me. So I appreciate you coming along and being a spectator as I hopefully perform very well.
I got my fingers crossed. I'll be cheering for you.
Yeah.
But up next, something that we're working on, we're going to work on like official announcement related things, but just to kind of be the first place that we say it out loud, something that's really cool for us is we recently acquired a company called Concealed Carry Clothiers. And this company had been in business about 20 years, almost exactly 20 years, based out in Rhode Island. And wonderful company. They've made kind of the I would call it the industry standard concealed carry vests for many years. And they also have concealed carry belts. And part of that acquisition is we also got the domain names that company owned. And one of those is concealedcarry.com. So some of you may have recently gone to our website and noticed that the logo has changed, the domain is being forwarded. And USA Firearm Training really has transitioned, and we are now concealedcarry.com.
Yeah, and I kind of dropped the hint a little bit already in the episode, as I'm sure you noticed. And it's so exciting. We are so excited to now transition, as you said, into concealedcarry.com. For those of you that were fans of or customers of Concealed Carry Clothiers and their former website, concealedcarry.com, we still have and still sell their vests. And belts and a couple other things they had available as products in their store. And so as of right now, none of that has really changed other than we now have the product, the inventory, and we're selling it. So in case you're wondering about that sort of thing, I don't think Jacob, you or I are really into wearing or concealing using one of those vests, but some of you listening, you might find interest in those, and you can go see those in our product store on the website. But so as you mentioned, moving forward, we're going to be known as Concealed Carry Inc. We'll be basically doing business as concealedcarry.com. And so exciting, a very exciting time for us, and a perfect time to make this transition as we, once again, enter into a new year.
Exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. I got to get on the road soon. It's been a pleasure doing this episode today with you, Jacob. In fact, I think it's been a little while since you were actually on the Wednesday episode of the podcast, since we missed you last week as Matthew and I did it together. So thanks for doing this with me. It's been fun. Happy New Year, everybody. Here's to a great 2017. And we'll see you next week, Monday, it's January 9th. We've got a special episode of the Concealed Carry Podcast, so don't miss it then. We'll see you later. Take care. Train hard. Be safe.
A reminder that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand applicable laws. USA Firearm Training and the Concealed Carry Podcast strive to share insights and stories about firearm-related incidents and laws, but things could be different where you live, or laws may have changed by the time you listen to this. We cannot be held liable for your actions based on the information shared in the podcast.